Dark Sky Odyssey. Now, going forward towards the marathon, the week leading up to it, I had loads of people that I got involved who helped me along the way. Shaka, my trainer, Fred, the physiotherapist, and Christiane Parker, who's a nutritionist and kinesiologist from Northampton. Incredible, incredible lady, and had amazing feedback from all of you guys and loads of questions. So I thought, you know what, we need to start getting on the phone more. And I thought today what we'd do is have a little bit of a chat about food intolerances. I just want to say a massive good morning. How are you, Christiane?
Good morning, Carly. I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Really, really good. You enjoying the sunshine?
It's beautiful. It makes us all feel good and gives us a chance to get lots of vitamin D.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous, and it puts you in such a better mood as well.
Oh yeah, everyone's smiling a lot more, you know.
Now look, Christiane, I want to talk to you all about food intolerances today, because the more and more my friends are starting to say, oh, I'm not having dairy, or I'm not having wheat, or I'm not having this, I'm not having that, and just wanted to get your opinion on it and talk a little bit about it today, if possible.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing really is to explain the difference between a food intolerance and an allergy, because there's a huge confusion over those two things. And if you're allergic to something, then you've got an immune activity going on in your body. So in other words, you've made an antibody against a certain thing. And most people know what their allergies are, because you get an instant reaction. So you'd either break out in a rash, be sick, get diarrhea, something horrible like that happening pretty instantly with an allergy. And typical long-term problematical allergies are things like a gluten allergy, so people who suffer with Crohn's disease. So anytime they'd eat that, that would start to destroy cells in their body, particularly in the gut. So that's an allergy. And intolerance is something which can exacerbate any health problem that you can possibly imagine. And an easy example is something like arthritis. So if somebody's suffering with arthritis and they eat high acid foods, the acid in the foods will start to damage the joints. So if they're eating red meat and lots of alcohol and wine and coffee and all the things people enjoy, it would start to actually damage the joint. So that's not an antibody or an immune reaction. That's something that's breaking down things in the body. But an intolerance can be something like you can eat a food and it can actually make you very tired. For example, a lot of people get very tired if they eat a lot of pasta or bread, that sort of thing, because it takes a huge amount of enzymes from the digestive system to actually break that food down. So by the time their tummy's done all of that work, they feel exhausted because there's no energy left for general activity. Food intolerances can even be basic things like textures of food. So if somebody's got a very delicate tummy, a stomach ulcer, something like that, and you put very rough, hard, prickly food through the gut, like nuts and things like that, then the actual texture of the food can make that health problem worse.
Is that down to as well, Christiane? Like sometimes I know as Brits, we eat our food so quickly that we don't actually chew it properly.
Yeah.
Does that help? Say for example, you've got a funny tummy. If you were to really start, you know, breaking it down and chewing it properly, would that help?
Yes, it would. You know, I had a new person in yesterday and I put them on what I call a textured diet, which was basically, I said, don't swallow anything until it's like baby food in your mouth, so it's like a pulp. Because in the saliva, there are lots of enzymes. So if you chew your food in your mouth and use your teeth and break it down, so think of your mouth like a little liquidizer, and then swallow it, by the time it goes down, your digestive system's got less work to do, and the enzymes have been active, and you're putting less stress on the gut. Whereas if you go munch, munch, swallow, gobble, and let it go down like that, then it lands down there as a big shock to the system and creates havoc and pain and all sorts of problems.
And that's why red meat can sometimes be bad, isn't it? Because you don't chew it and then you swallow it and it can just sit in your tummy for days.
Yeah, and ferment and give you bad breath and gas and, all those horrible things.
Something that's been really, a lot of my friends and a lot of the music industry actually at the moment seem to be doing is everyone's getting NutriBullets, Christiane. And on their Instagram, they're all doing NutriBullet videos and everyone's on this whole juicing thing. What are your thoughts about it?
NutriBullet, what's that?
Have you heard of it? It's like a blender, juice maker.
Yes.
And so it's just something that's a quick way of making juice early in the morning.
Oh, right, yeah.
What do you think about juicing?
juicing's really good because, I mean, if you get a bag of carrots and you try to eat a bag of carrots, it would take you forever. Whereas if you get them and you pop them in the blender or the juicer, you'll get all of the nutritional value of that amount of food in one hit very quickly. So it's a brilliant way of taking in lots of vitamins and minerals in food form. If you took a multivit, which can be very helpful, they've taken, you know, the zinc from here, the B vits from there, and put them all together. But if you've taken something that is actually a food, it's a much more natural way to present it to your body to process and extract the nutrients and make good use of them. So, yes, it gives you a really, really concentrated high level of nutrients. So juicing's brilliant.
I sometimes have them, and I remember years ago I used to have a coffee when I was tired, and I used to think, right, I'm going to have a coffee. And obviously since seeing you, I don't really drink coffee anymore. But what I have found is that if I'm feeling a bit tired and sluggish in the day, if I've had a late night, if I go and get a juice with a load of green stuff in it, then actually it really picks me up, but also lasts a lot longer than any coffee would have ever had. And I don't spike from it either.
That's really true. Yeah, so they are brilliant. It's a brilliant way of packing in essential nutrients really, really fast. It's good.
Christiane, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a track. Will you stay on the phone and then come back and we'll talk a bit more about food intolerances?
Yes.
Brilliant. Stay there. We'll be back very shortly.
Thanks.
Track called New Romance. So we've got Christiane Parker on the phone. We're talking all things food. James Elliott says, ask her if she's married. She's a legend. This is true. She is a legend. I'll let Christiane answer that question. Christiane?
Am I getting married? I'm getting married next year, so I'm spoken for.
And Michael says, I've got a question. What's the best way to find out if I have allergies without getting the doctors involved?
How to find out if you've got allergies? Well,
or intolerances, if you haven't.
You could go and see somebody like myself who does kinesiology, which is a very non-invasive way of testing foods with muscle testing. There's another method called Vega testing. A lot of health food shops offer that. And it's a very non-expensive way of finding things out. If you have a blood test, they'll only look for allergens. And allergens you'd know about. You know, if you... at seafood and you were sick, you'd know you had that problem. So it's better to find out what your intolerances are. So, you know, if in your local area, you should find somebody who's a practitioner of natural medicine who would be able to help you with that. But kinesiology, vega testing, that sort of thing. I use kinesiology in my practice for that. And it's a great way of finding out information. The other thing about intolerances is they don't always stay with you, because if you had a bug in your gut and you kept getting lots of problems with your digestive system, each time you eat sugar or yeast or something like that, you'd feed it. But if you get rid of the bug, then those foods are no longer a problem then after that. So food intolerances don't always stay with you.
Because when I came to see you initially, I used to have really bad intolerances, and then now I've built up my immune system and my body, and I can actually eat a lot of foods without reacting the way that it used to.
Yeah.
Nathan says, I used to drink coffee till the cows come home, and it gives me a caffeine nervous reaction and mad anxiety. Why is that?
Well, it's packed with caffeine, and caffeine is a stimulant, and it does affect the nervous system. And there's an awful lot of people who can't sleep properly, and if they would just stop drinking coffee or, you know, heavy caffeine drinks, they'd probably find that they'd calm down and relax more. And it makes you use up more of your minerals like magnesium, which I call the chill-out mineral. It helps you relax and sleep better and so forth. So coffee does make people very nervy and anxious. You're better off to take a herb like ginkgo or ginseng to actually help keep your brain more awake, and some fish oils, than taking something like coffee.
Okay, and also recently, one of the DJs on the show, a guy called SK Vibemaker, he's decided to cut out dairy completely. Mm. And so he Instagrammed a photo of him with soya the other day. What's your thoughts on soya?
Well, soya is a very good alternative, but it does affect some people in different ways, because it's all about the source of it. Soya can act like estrogen in the body, so it's very good for menopausal women because it can mimic the estrogen and help them through that difficult time. But if too much soya is taken on a very regular basis, then sometimes for men that's not so good, because it might mimic some estrogen in their body, and that's not really what they want. I feel like saying they might grow boobs or something, but you know, might make them a bit girly. I don't know.
But there's loads of alternatives. I mean, I have coconut milk, which is really lovely.
That's what I have instead.
It's really nice, and it's actually the closest thing. And I just find it's, I don't know, last night I made a smoothie, and I had banana, peach, and strawberry with coconut milk, and it was gorgeous.
Yes. And the good thing about coconut milk is it's what we call a prebiotic. It helps feed the friendly bacteria in the gut, so it's very good for the stabilizing the health of your gut and keeping the balance of the bacteria in order and in check in your digestive system. I put that on my cereal every day because I don't really suit cow's milk very well. And it's much lighter, and it's very good for cholesterol and things like that.
So, Christiane, moving forward towards the summer, can you give us any quick little tips that, you know, things that would really, really help to make sure that we're really healthy during the summer?
Well, I think the juicing that you're doing is a brilliant example. And one of the most main things people bother about the summer is how they look when they start wearing less clothing and things and losing a little bit of weight. And there's so many different fad diets and different things going on out there. But the best thing is to reduce your carbohydrate intake. And a little rule I set sometimes when I want to shed a few pounds, so I try and not have many carbohydrates in the evening. So you have all your energy foods during the day when you need it. And the other thing that's really key about summer, because of our climate, is to actually get the sun when it's there. Because most people are so deficient in vitamin D in the winter, and it can make your mood very low. It can affect your bone mineralization. So I say to people, if it's a really lovely day and you see that sun out there and it's in and out a bit, just drop everything for 10 minutes, sit outside the back door, have a little rest, stick your legs and arms out and pick up some vitamin D. Because you can pick up about 10,000 IUs of vitamin D in 10 or 15 minutes. And, you know, if you wanted to get that much from food, you'd have to eat about five salmon fillets, because there's not much of it in the food chain.
Christiane, thank you so much.
It's always
wonderful having you on the phone.
Oh.
James is saying he's gutted that you're getting married. Obviously not for you, but yeah. And also, our listeners love having you on, so if you come on again next month, that would be amazing.
Oh, thank you. I will. I'd love that.
Look, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Either call me on 01604 677854, or email me at christiane@christianeparker.co.uk.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Christiane.
Thank you, Carly.
Loads of love, and we'll chat to you really, really soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Bye. So it's just after 8:45, which means I need to tell you what's going on the roads this morning. A3212 Whitehall southbound in Westminster at the A4 Trafalgar Square Junction is there's traffic this morning, and heavy traffic on the A3 west or eastbound in Wandsworth at South Circular Road. Also clearing traffic this morning on the A501 Marylebone flyover into Marylebone at the A40 Westway Junction. Onto the underground this morning, all lines are running smoothly so far. And today's weather, a dry day with sunny intervals and highs of 22 degrees. Your next travel and weather update is at 9:15.
Hard time forgiving, even harder.